Welcome to the Life Melbourne podcast. We're so glad you're joining us for another hope-filled message. We pray that you're encouraged by this powerful word from our Sunday service.
So Father, we commit these next few moments to you as we bring in focus to the significance of you, your plan, community. And God, the significant foundational role the church has in that. And God, we do thank you for the great authentic spirit, the amazing culture of oneness and unity that's here. But Father, we don't want to ever get familiar. We don't want to ever just love the culture, but not know the biblical truths that outwork the culture. So help us today to all be shaped by your word, to be encouraged, to be challenged. Lord, I thank you that it's not just about a nice pat on the back, but sometimes it's a kick up the bum. So Father, help us just to be encouraged in what you want to do, because all you want to do is lead us forward in love. And I thank you, Lord God, that in you there's no condemnation, but there is great conviction to live as you lived. In Jesus' name, can you say amen? Amen. Amen. If you haven't sat down already, you can grab a seat. Thank you, guys. You're amazing. Thank you for serving us and leading us so well today. I thought I'd sit down today and have a bit of a discussion. Is that okay? Yeah. Going to have a friend come and join me in a moment. I didn't just put it there because I'm lonely and I just thought it'd be nice to have the other personality in the room. But we're going to have a moment to just share stories and share testimonies, because I'm going to jump straight into it. I'm not going to try and warm it up too much. If you weren't here last Sunday, you need to get Pastor Scott's messages. They were phenomenal. They were fantastic as we're opening up this new series called Community. Community is God's idea. Family is God's idea. But I want to say this here right now. God is growing his church across the globe, across the city. As we were recently with a whole lot, literally hundreds of church leaders and pastors, everyone's testimony was the same. My gosh, God is on the move. The amount of people that are coming, the fresh salvations, the stories are incredible. He's expanding and enlarging his church. And what I've noticed in my seasons and years, and even for myself personally, having been raised in the church, but being relatively a close-knit group, which isn't a negative thing, but then walking into life and it being literally beyond the size I'd ever seen a church before, what I've heard is, as we've pioneered here and as we've grown through the stages, as people have come and gone, oh, I like this church because it's kind of small, like it's kind of intimate. I still get to know everyone. And part of me goes, oh, that's so nice. But the other part of me is going, you just wait. Because if you just like it small, then it won't be long before you get pushed out of your comfort zone a little bit. But I have this statement to make. 12, 120, 3,000. Just as personal and just as powerful. 12 disciples with Jesus, 120 in the upper room, moments later, 3,000 were added in that day. Just as personal and just as powerful. So we're going to jump straight into scripture in Acts 2 and talk about how the first early church, having grown 3,000 in a day, then set out to operate as a family of believers. Are you all right? We go with this? Listen to this, Acts 2, 42. It says, they devoted themselves. They were not manipulated. They were not obligated. They were not told, if you don't, you're not a good Christian. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship, to the breaking of bread and to prayer. Listen to this. Some of them were filled with awe. No. Everyone was filled with awe. Listen, at the many wonders and signs performed by the apostles. How awesome is that? The same wonders and signs with 12 was the same wonders and signs, you know what I'm saying, with 3,000, right? Verse 44, all the believers were together and had everything in common. That doesn't mean they all looked the same. Didn't mean they were all from the same region. But there was a unity, a oneness of heart. And they sold property and possessions to give to anyone that had need. Wow, that's pretty significant. Reminds me a lot of expansion. It reminds me a lot of the opportunity that people are having. I've got something I could invest so that others can receive. And we are seeing the fruit of that. Verse 46, every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes and they ate together with gladness and sincere hearts. Wow. Verse 47, praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people. And listen, and the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. Isn't that incredible? They gathered in the temple, but they met in the home. They gathered in the temple. There was a celebration of what took place in 6 days, over 6 days in homes, came together and was celebrated in the temple. But they met and they broke bread. It's not an and or. It's not an either or an either. It's the together of both. It's that significance of it's not just enough to come to a service every now and again. It's not just about, oh, I just got my home church and we just do our home connect group. And no. There's a very significant power that comes together when we corporately gather, come on, under the differences of us all, but saying there's one name we're lifting up and our differences will not divide us. Come on, the common denominator is greater than any point of difference in our life. We are here to lift up the name of Jesus, and he moves through that in power. And there was favor over all the people. 12, 120, 3,000 plus, just as personal and powerful. But I've had this scripture as I've been praying into the series. I've had this scripture, and this is what I want to unpack as quick as I can, and maybe we could have a moment later in the service just to again put ourselves in God's hands and say, okay, God, we make room. What are you calling me to in this next season? What are you shaping me into? But Hebrews 10, 24 to 25 has really been something stirring my heart. And it says this, and let us consider one another in order to stir up love and good works. Verse 25 is the main one. Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together. Another version says, not forsaking the meeting together. As some are in the manner of doing. But exhorting, which means deeply encouraging. Which also means at times deeply challenging. Not just going, oh, you can have your opinion, you can have your opinion. No, they gathered around the word of God. They gathered in prayer and they would keep each other accountable, come on, to see his word upheld and to see that it didn't deviate or be diluted or anything like that. They stayed in that place so much. And then it says, deeply exhorting one another and so much more as you see the day approaching. So it's saying to us, as the day approaches, we shouldn't actually get less and less. It should become more and more. But here's the tension of the time that we live in. Here's the tension of the day and age that we live in, is that it's actually getting less and less. It's not getting more and more, right? The tension is that it used to be the common reality that people would be in church every 1 or 2 weeks. Now it's common that people would be in church as seen as a committed believer every 2 to 3 weeks. That's enough to stay committed. Now, if we look at our time that we spend in God's presence intentionally, in our time in services and collective worship, our time in Connect Group, and let's just say that we did half an hour a day in devotional time, we did an hour and a half on a Sunday every single week, and we did Connect Group every week for 2 hours, that we would have a total consumption of 7 hours worth of collective focused time of being with God and being with others to outwork this. Wow. But who knows that if we follow the statistics, we might do 10 minutes devotion within Connect Groups only every second week, because that's how often they run, right? And then if we're only in church every 2 to 3 weeks, then let's divide that time down. It actually works out that about 3 hours of our week are actually in the collaborative breaking of bread, meeting together, getting in the temple. Yet it said at the very start, they were all together every day getting together. And what I'm trying to say to us is, if we're spending 5 hours a day on our phone, yet we're spending 3 hours a week in the presence of God with others, there's going to be a reality of what voice is louder, what influences most, what leads us in this season. Are we led into discipleship or are we led into distractionship? And this isn't about condemnation, because hello, I'm the same, right? But there is that dynamic, and it doesn't mean that every day it's like, oh, well, you better open up the doors every day. But there is an intentionality. Have we got a God filter upon everything we're doing every day? But it says this, do not forsake the assembling together. And I would just ask the question, in a day and age where we're trying to actually simplify things and make them more achievable to get to, and then sometimes we go, next steps, 3 weeks. Are you serious? I've got to be at 3 Sundays in a row to go to next steps. Like, we honestly look like that because of the day and age we live in. We've come out of COVID and we're saying, oh, no, I'm not going to do that as much. I'm not going to do that as much. I'm not going to do that as much. And my question to us would be, and I'll bring this up later, my question would be, why is it that the church element, the God element, can be so flexible to be shifted? Come on, he says, I'm the cornerstone. I'm not another stone that when you've done all your other stones, you find out where I fit in your life. He says, I'm the cornerstone at which you place in your life, and then from there, everything else finds its reason. And I, please, hear my heart. This is not about condemnation or anything like that. But I believe that in the hours we're living in, come on, we've got to be more saturated in the presence of God. Come on, we're going to be more surrounded by others, being encouraged and exhorted deeply. We've got to put ourselves in a position where we can encourage and exhort deeply. Come on, it's not about going, oh, I've got to come, and if they want me to be here, I've got to tick that box, and I've got to go to that, and go to that. This is all so religious. No, no, no. This is about relational exchange, right? If I married Nadia and said, babe, you are like number one in my life. You are like the, and when it comes to, like, you are it. And then I said, I'm going to hang out with you and see you for 3 hours this week. Yeah, I wouldn't be sitting here. Right? If I say, oh man, these guys are great friends in my life. We hang out, we talk once every 3 weeks. There's a disconnect. You go, in the church context, oh, you're being religious. No, no, no. What does relationship look like? Relationship looks like daily engagement, doing life together. And what I love about it is that God's church is a home. It's a family. It's not out of force. They devoted themselves. And so what I want to look at is actually three fruits we receive from not forsaking. And they're not complicated, but I love them. Number one, we receive an increasing family. Very simple, which is spiritual friends. We receive an increasing family. You know that we weren't supposed to receive a decreasing family? That we weren't coming to faith to then receive a more isolated life? But we're actually called to receive an increasing family. You know, it was so awesome at Heart and Soul, talking to this fresh family that had been coming since the end of last year. And as I saw them at Heart and Soul, I was like, wow, you guys are at Heart and Soul. Like, you're already on team. This is amazing. They said, oh, yeah, well, we're actually part of John and Rima's Connect group, who have just stepped into leadership in the last couple of months. They're stepping out into the things of God. And they said, it's just so much like family. It just, I didn't put the words in their mouth. They just said, it just feels so much like family. And sometimes I've been hesitant to, you know, as the church keeps growing and things happening, calling life a family. I love calling life a family, but people are like, it kind of sounds exclusive, but not when it's the family of faith, because it's not exclusive. There's no greater inclusive environment than the church. And so it's not exclusive, it's inclusive. And I love calling that we are the life family. And it's not a family that's already met every member. No, there are more members being added daily to the family of faith. And I love it that on Sundays, we collectively get to meet the souls that have been added weekly. But on Sunday, we gather that and we see that. And then from there, we get to step out. I love it. When we moved from New Zealand to Australia to be part of what God led in our lives, and we have no immediate family in Melbourne, we did not come here to isolate ourselves and decrease our family. No, us moving to Melbourne, being a part of life, this family, has only enlarged our family. Our kids only have more uncle and aunties that they can't even like know all their names, right? We have more friends and more people we do life with now. Why? Because it doesn't, you know, shift into the family of faith and lose family. You actually increase your family. And in a world that's getting more and more isolated and more alone, I think this is good news. That the church is a place where you belong. A church is a place where you can come in as you are, but in that you are going to be loved and accepted and welcomed, and your family is going to enlarge. I love that. Galatians 3 puts it like this in verse 26. You are all sons and daughters of God through faith in Christ. All of you are baptized. I got like sticky mouth syndrome. All of you were baptized in Christ, have clothed yourself with Christ. There is neither Jew nor Greek, neither slave nor free, male or female, though you are all one in Christ. You belong to Christ. You are Abraham's seed and therefore heirs according to the promise. Yeah. Hmm. Yep. Don't you love the Father Abraham song? Father Abraham had many sons had Father Abraham, and I am one of them, and so are. I was waiting for Jazz. I knew Jazz would have it. Like, if anybody in the room had it, Jazz would have it. Next thing, she's going to be up dancing. And so, Jesus confronted, and it's quite a challenging verse, but we'll just grab the bite-sized piece of this for now. But Mark 3, 34 says, and then he looked to those seated in the circle around him, his disciples, and he said, here are my mothers. Here are my brothers. Right? Whoever does the will of God is my brother and sister. He's saying we're family. It's personal. We're together in this, right? We are one. I love that. Someone I've just loved to see their journey, and I'm going to invite up to join us, is this awesome couple, this great family that God has brought into life. And I thought it might be awesome just to have someone join me and just talk about what it is like coming into life and the community and the family of faith that is formed as we come. So I want you to put your hands together for Andrew as Andrew comes to join me. And Andrew, along with his amazing wife, Cara, their oldest son, AJ, and their newborn, Hudson. Come join me, mate. But I have loved just connecting with you and seeing what, I guess, the freedom that God has been bringing into your life, but also just it's like the joy that every time we talk about, you just can't help but talk about in regards to what it's like being a part of life. But just quickly, what has it been for you and your family walking into life, however long ago it was, and what have you experienced walking into this community?
We came in just after COVID lockdowns. Yeah. And the remote learning with all of our students. It took us a little while to sort of find out the right church for us online. So my wife and I were looking madly. Yeah. And the day the churches opened back up, I think I met you for the first time walking in.
I probably hugged you. I was like, oh, look, there's another face. This is unbelievable.
And we just knew straight away, coming in through the doors, meeting all the different people. The hugs and just the happiness straight away. We just knew this was the place for us.
Yeah, wow. And you guys live a big life. These guys, if you don't know, actually run an incredible home with about 10 other teenage students that they look after who are all on scholarships and come from different parts of Australia together to be able to then... So really, they don't have two kids, they have 12. We think we have a busy, sad day with three kids at sport or two. They had yesterday, as I was talking to them, 10 sporting activities to be a part of. Yet, I don't know if I've ever seen a Sunday where you haven't been here, if you haven't been in West Australia with your other family. And so, so what has it meant? That why for you has church been something, or this family been something you've just poured your heart into?
When we first left WA, it was just my wife and I. We didn't know anyone here, and it was just the both of us, and we had to work it out. But then when we found the church at Life, it laid a really good platform to build our hostel and our relationship on rock, and to put our trust in God.
Amazing.
And just every time His way was the way that worked.
Right.
I've had my ways before, and God was third or fourth on the list, but every time He just proved us wrong, and He was just right every time when we put Him to the top of the list.
Right, so this element of actually placing it priority.
We had to, because it was the only way for us, and just every time we did that, things happened and things moved in the spirit world for us.
Yeah. So let's maybe unpack that a little bit, because that's actually quite a personal point for all of us. So you would be honestly saying that He was somewhere around the three or the four?
I'd be honest, I was my relationship with my wife. Work was big for us. And at that point, the hostel and the kids wasn't even something that was on the agenda. And it just gradually happened organically, and slowly God got pushed down that list, because the many students that came in, they became a priority because of the backgrounds in which they came.
Yeah.
But then as we put God first, He would peel back those layers, and all of a sudden He's moving things around in the way He wanted it, and it just happened. It was just unreal.
Wow.
Yeah.
So good. And as you said, there's been a natural flow on from that, and you would say that there was transformation in you, as well as then the community now that you do life with, which is a powerful part. Because we were just sharing the other day in the foyer, you just said to me, man, I can't believe the other day I had in my men's connect group the opportunity to share vulnerably for the first time. And the weight that's lifting off you is you have a community that you can actually do life with.
For those of you that know me very well, I'm very close to myself, and I keep everything to my chest. I do rarely open myself to my wife, which that's been a bit of a challenge over the recent years. But the men in the Connect groups have become like my brothers now.
Wow.
I've never been able to open up vulnerably and surrender myself around people that I trust.
Yeah.
Where previously I would openly speak about things to people that I didn't quite trust in a social environment, and you just don't know where they would lead on to.
Yeah.
Where being around the boys from the Wolfpack,
specifically.
It's been the very first time I was there, like, this is the place I've been looking for a very long time.
Yeah.
To be able to open up my heart to boys that I trust, that give me the advice that, you know, is God-driven by the Holy Spirit.
You know, it's no small thing. We were designed to live with our lives actually imparting to one another. You know, we were designed to receive grace and to give grace, which flows onto the second point. I'm going to leave Andrew here because he'll help me with this. But one of the other fruits of not forsaking the gathering is that we receive imparted freedom. Imparted freedom, which means sacred encounters. What we're hearing about is this collective guys gathering. And there's different other forms of gathering together. And you guys have done a marriage course. You're in the middle of the freedom course. Great things that come out of the overflow of the family of faith, the church. The incredible thing is that they're sacred encounters, right? Like, there's really moments where they're like, God is on the move in our life. And I love this because James 5:16 says, actually, confess your sins. Or the New King James says, confess your trespasses. Or the King James says, confess your faults to each other. Pray for each other so that you may be healed. The earnest prayer of a righteous person has great power and produces wonderful results, which is basically saying this: it's God who forgives us, but he uses people to heal us. Hear that again. It's God who forgives us, but he uses people to heal us. And what I think happens and what I've learned is that in Sundays, God actually reveals things to me. He starts showing me the things that are the layer below that I see that no one else sees. He actually starts revealing to me and going, I want to deal with that stuff. I want to deal with that area of hurt. I want to deal with that area of addiction. I want to deal with that area of fear. But what happens is we get into a Sunday and he highlights it, but then we go away from a Sunday and then it's like, oh, we got nowhere to, so we just cover it back up again. And there's things in our life that are lasting longer than they should. There's times I have in prayer and in the word myself, and God sparks into my spirit and says, come on, I want you to talk to someone about that. But if I don't have an environment, if I haven't created a closeness of community, if I haven't created a brother or a sister relationship where I can actually roll up my sleeves and actually say, hey, these are areas in my life. These are some trespasses, some challenges, some sin in my life. Then the truth of it is I stay more sick than I should. And the incredible thing is what Andrew is revealing to us is actually when we come to these environments and when the timing's right and we take that bold, strong step of courage to reveal stuff, it's actually the partnership together where we start to unravel these things and these things actually start to be dealt with in our lives. The gathering together, breaking bread together, praying together, it releases God's fullness and his purpose over our lives. It is not a religious obligation. No, he's saying, I want healing at the deepest level. Come on, I want breakthrough at the deepest level. I want transformation at the deepest level. But it's not going to come because we come once every 3 weeks on a Sunday. It's going to come because we do life together. There's a direct line at any point, at any time. I've got people that I can break bread with, I can pray with, and I can journey forward. Does that make sense? Come on, can we thank Andrew and honor him for sharing his story? You're amazing. Thank you. I don't want to be over the top, but at the same time, our world, our nation tells us that 20% of every person, of a group of people, will deal with mental illness. 43% will be going through serious marriage issues. 10% will have over-the-top anger that they can't control. 26% will drink excessively in some way. 42% will be hooked to pornography. That's just not men either. A growing percent are struggling with sexuality. The problem is we have a culture that advocates these things. Advocates separation, advocates unfaithfulness. I read recently of a stat where a comedian's going around doing his session, and off the back of his session, already he's seen 2,500 divorces. Wow. Advocating. It's a laughing matter. It's a joke. These are not what God teaches us in his word. Yeah. How much are we hearing of everything else? What are the noises surrounding us, or do we have the clarity and the consistency and the volume of God's word and his voice and his love and his opinion? Come on, we live in a society of victimhood. Come on, we live under the savior of a victor.
Yeah, right.
But if we constantly told you're a victim, you're a victim, you're a victim, if you consistently say you should have confusion, 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 then we're going to be left in a place where these stats are only going to grow. But I tell you what, that's actually contrary to what the biblical reality of living by his word actually reveals. Study has shown, contrary to the cultural narrative of our times, stats actually reveal that those who attend church and live under the conservative manner of the Bible are less depressed, less likely to ever commit suicide, less to ever self-medicate when it comes to emotional pain. They have greater social support, greater meaning in life, that women are happier, more celebrated, advocated, and empowered, that they have greater satisfaction in areas of their life, that they live more success, more fulfilled sex lives. Pause for effect. Bryce just said, now that's church growth. Their children are less likely to be depressed, use drugs, engage in sex outside of marriage, and they will grow up happy. And according to the Washington Times, people who regularly engage in a faith community were the only segment of the population whose mental health actually improved during the pandemic. But come on, I'm telling you, when God says, do not forsake the gathering together, he's not trying to say, you better just go and fit in this box. No, he's saying, come on, there is fullness of life. If you be planted in the house of the Lord, there will be a flourishing in the courts of our God. And that there would be changes. One of the key messages of Hebrews is this, that you are not alone. The world will declare, you can do it. But the Bible model is, we can do it. We is always better than me. But the reality is, as many of us, if we said, who's your we? Who would be the person you call? Who would be the person you could just turn up on their doorstep? Most, the statistic says now, wouldn't have someone outside of potentially their spouse, if they would even go to the depths of honesty with their spouse. That may be the statistics of our time, but that's not the way. Come on, we're called to be able to operate and live. And I thank you that in the church, day by day, piece of trust by piece of trust by piece of trust, by entrusting and entrusting and entrusting, those cultural norms start to change. Health is start to be birthed. Life is giving back. And the reality is that we actually live not unpersecuted, not unchallenged, not easy lives, but we live lives in his fullness. Come on, he who the Son sets free becomes free indeed. Does it make sense? Is this helpful? It says, everybody was filled with awe and wonder at the many signs and wonders performed. I am blown away by the amount of miracles and the amount of stories, the way God is moving throughout people, situations and circumstances in this season. It is unbelievable. Stories coming out left, right and center everywhere. Why? Because that's the church model in action. That's what it's about. And the third thing, and I've got to be quick, but I could preach a whole message on this. The third thing that we receive by living lives that are not forsaking the gathering together is we live an integrated future. An integrated future. Not an isolated future, not a me and my plan, my dream future. We live an integrated future, which means we live with a divine purpose. We live on purpose. Right? I love that you want to talk about a healthy picture of diversity, right? The big buzzword, diversity. You want to talk about the healthy picture, then you want to go to 1 Corinthians 12. And it actually talks about this exact as the subtitle in this passage of Scripture, unity and diversity in the body. The world wants to tell us that diversity is about the outward exchange of what we have on the outside of us. But the Bible says very clearly in 1 Samuel, come on, it says, no, man looks at the outside, I look at the inside. There's so many things on the outside that could divide us, right? But God says, hey, I haven't called you to be divided, I've called you to be united. I haven't called you to be many bodies, I've actually called you to be one body. You'll have different parts within this body, but you are one body. I want to read this scripture because it's powerful, but it says this in verse 12, it says, just as a body just as a body, though one, has many parts, but all its many parts form one body, so it is with Christ. For we were all baptized by one Spirit so as to form one body. Whether Jew or Gentile, slave or free, black or white, Let it linger. We were all given just one spirit to drink from. Even so, the body is not made up of one part, but it's made up of many parts. So the great thing is the tapestry of diversity and difference is huge. One's a kidney, the other one's an eyebrow. But we're all part of one body, all here lifting up one name, all here to see one kingdom come and one will be done. Verse 18, but the fact God has placed every part of the body, each one of them, just as he wanted them to be. If they were all one part, where would the body be? So he's not saying you all need to sound and look like everyone else. No, no, no. You carry a unique gift. You carry a unique call. You carry a unique anointing. You carry a unique mantle. But there are many parts that make this up. The eye cannot say to the hand, I don't need you. Or the head cannot say to the feet, I don't need you. See, the world's saying it's inclusive, but the truth is if you don't agree with it, it's very exclusive. There's no greater inclusive message than the gospel of Jesus Christ, that for whoever, the all, the everyone, come on, I've made a way that everybody can come. I can't say I don't need you. I need you. But God put the body together, giving greater honor to the parts that lack it. So if you're a toenail, don't worry. God gives greater honor to the toenail as he does the mouth that gets all the glory, so that there should be no division. Isn't that awesome? That actually one part will not be more honored than another. Oh, but I want what they have. Why? Because when God's eyes, he sees you and them exactly the same. There is no this, it's this. We are together. If one part suffers, one part. That's for all my high-pitched men out there. If one part suffers, every part suffers. If one part is honored, every part rejoices. Now you are one body of Christ, and each one of you is a part of it. Far be it from us as a church that we would ever select somebody or choose somebody based on their external differences. Oh, but that we could be a church that continually is identifying the God gift in every single person, the God mantle on every single person, the God call and the God shape, the God part and the God piece of the body, that we would be able to encourage, equip, and entrust the same joy that we have to build and be part of outworking God's kingdom here on earth, that we would be a church that's not looking at what we do going out. How do we make sure that there's somebody from Zimbabwe on stage? How do we make sure that there's an Aussie on stage? How do we make sure there's someone from the Philippines on stage? How do we make sure there's someone of Arab descent on stage? Come on, no, no, no. What's your calling? What's your gifting? How do we champion that? And the beautiful thing is it doesn't matter what age, it doesn't matter the generation, doesn't matter the culture, doesn't matter what you're white or you're black or if you're albino. Or we together form a body that anyone walks into and can go, oh my goodness, here's home. Here's a family. Here's a place I can belong. Here's a place that someone's going to identify, not the reality of what I look like on the outside, but what God's destined on the inside. A team that's going to cherish us and champion and say, come on, the same way God's grace met me is the same way his grace can meet you. Your past doesn't disqualify you. Our God made a way to work through you. And we get together and we keep as a church extending our arms, opening our heart and realizing that we don't want to placard on a piece of ground that means nothing Monday to Sunday, but that we are a home for all, that we are a place that will increasingly grow as a family that all can belong. I believe this in the name of Jesus. If you believe it, say amen. Amen. See, in this year of discipleship, I stated at the very first Sunday that I had the opportunity to share, I stated that we will walk out of this year different the way we walked in. I want you to hear this. If you have walked in alone and isolated, my declaration for you is that you'll walk out embraced and engaged in a family of faith. If you've walked in wondering if God could use you, you'd walk out reflecting the goodness and the gracious hand of work upon you. If you've walked in hurt and broken, you'd walk out hopeful in the hands of others carrying you and caring for you. If you've walked in skeptical, you'd actually at the end of this year walked out surrendered. If you've walked in consumed with self, I pray that by the end of this year you'll walk out consumed with serving. I pray that if you've walked in bound, by the end of this year, through piece by piece, relationship after relationship, conversation after conversation, prayer after prayer, that you'd walk out free. And I pray if you've walked in lost, it's God's greatest heart that you would realize he sees you and you would walk out found. The truth of it is it's going to take us being strong and courageous. going to take strength. It's going to take strength to take God from priority number four in your life to make him priority number one. It's going to take strength to grab hold of that connect card on your seat and say, okay, I'm going to put myself out there and I'm going to open up the opportunity for someone to help me, not force me, but to help me find a place where I can have a faith community, a faith family, spiritual friends, so we could have sacred moments. It takes courage to walk into someone's house you don't know. Biggest tip, take something. You take a box of favorites, you're everyone's favorite straight away. But it takes courage. It takes courage going to signing up to a marriage course. Oh, but what are they going to think? They're going to think my marriage is a problem. No. It's always better to strengthen something that's strong rather than wait till it's at the bottom of the cliff and weak. Don't let somebody else's opinion. Mate, if you're at the bottom of the cliff, then don't do it alone. There's a great group of people that love to journey you forward into all that God has. It's going to take a step of courage. Say, okay, I'm going to stop just attending. I'm actually going to join team. One of the most exciting things I love about Sim Street is how much it's going to unlock for so many people, hundreds of people. It's going to unlock the God call on the inside of you. It's going to unlock the area you can be involved in. It's going to unlock a new sense of joy and purpose in your life as you play the part that God's called you to play. It's going to take courage to stop drifting from church to church or coming irregularly and finally say, you know what, I'm going to put my roots down. I'm going to call this home. It's no longer the church, that church. No, this is my home. This is my family. We're an odd bunch and I don't get on with them and them, but there's a couple of people that I just feel like I connect heart with. I'm going to stay close and we're just going to walk forward. It takes courage, but be strong and courageous. Be strong. It's going to take strength and courage, not just to identify the areas of need, but actually to be someone who helps fulfill it. So many times I talk to people and go, yeah, but you don't run that. So we just decided to go somewhere else. Why didn't you be part of the solution? We never say that we got everything sorted. No, we're a pioneering church. There will always have areas that we are stepping into that we feel unequipped for, out of our depth in, but have a spirit, God, if you've called us to it, we'll go for it. And in that, we will all grow and we will discover and unlock the wonder of everything you can do. But it's going to take strong, being strong and courageous. Here at 12, 120, or 3,000. Just as personal and just as powerful if we would devote ourselves. You say amen? Amen? Come on, if you got something from that, if you felt like God's just stirred your spirit, encouraged your heart. I'm going to do something a little different this morning when it comes to the opportunity for every person to be able to discover the wonder of a God who loves you, a God who sees you, a God who knows you, He does not condemn you. He loves you so much. God loves you so much. He sent His one and only Son. You might be watching at home from a distance because it feels safer to be at a place where we don't know you. Hear it. God knows you. He loves you so much. And one day I pray that you'd find yourself in a place that you'd love to come and just connect personally. It would be an honor to meet you. But more importantly than meeting me, my greatest heart, our greatest heart has been for the last 32 years of life being planted is that every person would meet Jesus for themselves. Not discover a religion, not turn up out of obligation, but discover a live, living relationship with Jesus. The truth is, if I could talk you into it, then the next thing is some other podcast or some other news article will talk you out of it. But He's actually placed eternity in the heart of every single person. And if you would ask yourself honestly, am I right with God? Do I have the security of my eternity in God's hands, that heaven would be my home if I was to pass away? If you have the peace in that moment knowing yes, what a beautiful thing. If you don't, you're not a bad person. You have the greatest opportunity. You have the greatest joy right now to actually make a decision of faith, a relational choice to say, God, I'm going to open my life to you. The Bible says if we believe in our heart and confess with our mouth that He is Lord, He will meet us there, and He actually says He'll wipe away our past, give us a brand new beginning, and we actually get a fresh start. It's called being born again. If you don't know the reality of that, if you know the weight of sin in your life, separation of God, but you don't know the weight of and the truth of forgiveness in your life, then I would love you today to take a bold step. Again, this is going to be different, because normally I'd ask every person to close their eyes and to bow their heads, and we would take a moment to pray now. I'm actually going to ask you to take a step of faith today. There are going to be people in the foyer who are going to be holding a Bible up. That Bible is an indicator for you to be able to say, there's someone I can talk to about this relationship. I want to take a step to go and encounter God and to know Him. And they're going to actually meet you, give you that Bible they're holding, and they're going to pray with you. Or even better still, you might have come with a friend or a family member, or there might be someone sitting next to you, and you could simply say to them when we close this meeting in 1 minute's time, you could say to them, hey, this whole thing of meeting God, I haven't done that. Or I once was with God, but I know I'm away. Would you help me just pray a prayer right now to get right with God? Because I tell you what, it's for all of us, they were added to the church daily. It's for all of us to be able to take people on the journey of faith. So I'm going to ask you, if you brought someone today, would you be bold enough before you walk out and grab a coffee just to turn and say, hey, where are you with your walk with God? And if someone says, you know what, I actually would love to pray that I would recommit my life to Jesus today, then take a moment, pray with them. You can't get the prayer wrong. And then go and grab a Bible together. And let's together enable God to roll up the sleeves. And through hand-on-hand encounter, let's see God transform our lives. And let's see His church family be all that He called it to be. Amen.
We trust that you are encouraged by this powerful message. You always have a place to call home here at Life, and we invite you to join us for our Sunday services at our Melbourne campus. If you're not in Melbourne, then join us for church online wherever you are in the world. Just head to lifeau.org to stay connected and find out more.